The Titans have continued to sign numerous players in free agency. Today on this pod, we're going to react to Mason Rudolph, the backup quarterback, Nick Folk returning as the kicker, wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhine re-signing, Julius Chestnut, the running back, re-signing, and the tendering of exclusive rights free agent Jack Gibbons. Plus, who else are the Titans interested in? A reported meeting with Marcus May is on the books. We're going to get into all of that now. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible podcast presented by Broadway Sports Media in partnership with 440 Sports. I'm Justin Graver. With me, as always, is Justin Mello. And Justin, we've been putting out as much as we can reaction videos to every single signing. This is our seventh pod of the week already, but we got a group of bunch of them together today because we fell a little behind. The Titans had such a frenzy of signings on Wednesday that we got to cover a bunch here on Thursday morning. Let me tell you all about Sinkers Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. This episode is brought to you by Sinkers Beverages and Bluegrass Beverages. Great place to get your booze if you're in the Nashville area. Head on over to one of those two stores. Check out the walk-in beer fridge. Make sure you let them know the Music City Audible sent you.
Stay thirsty, friends.
All right, Justin, we are thirsty for Titans news here, so let's get into it. We're going to start with backup quarterback Mason Rudolph. Titans have signed. We know that they wanted a backup who was capable of going out and winning a handful of games if necessary. Brian Callahan talked about that recently, I think at the Combine. A lot of speculation about who that guy might be, someone with a connection to this staff, perhaps, someone with a lot of veteran experience, like a Joe Flacco was out there on the market. But the Titans go with Mason Rudolph. Jimmy Garoppolo, we had speculated a lot about as more of a high-level backup, but he probably would have cost a lot more than what Mason Rudolph got, which is 1 year, up to $3.6 million contract. It's really a $2.7 million contract in terms of guaranteed money. He's getting $1.35 million base salary, which is where about probably where the cap hit will be. That plus some guarantees will be the cap hit for this year. And then he's getting a $10,000 per game active roster bonus, and up to $750,000 in playtime incentives. So if everything goes exactly right for the Titans, Mason Rudolph will never see that $750,000 in playtime incentives because you hope Will Levis is healthy and playing the whole season. But if something were to happen to Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, I think, you know, people might clown this signing a little bit, but I think he's a very, very capable backup. This is exactly the level of quarterback you need backing up your starter if you're not going to go overpay for Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody of that level. So what do you make of the Mason Rudolph signing?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing. I think anyone who clowns this signing is generally unaware of how bad most backup quarterback situations are around the league. Like, this is a good, at worst, like a mid-tier backup quarterback. There are not 15 better backup quarterbacks, in my opinion, than Mason Rudolph in the league right now.
Yeah.
You look at what he did this past season. I mean, replacing Kenny Pickett, a sophomore first-round pick in the starting lineup. Now, that initially happened when Pickett was hurt, but then Rudolph played so well for them down the stretch, and Pickett was not playing well, that they decided to stick with Rudolph. He started a playoff game for them, a loss to the Buffalo Bills in the wild card round. But he caught fire down that stretch. In fact, we talked about connections to the staff. I'm going to get more into that. He doesn't have one. But Brian Callahan did see him beat the brakes off the Cincinnati Bengals in one of his starts. Down, I think it was like 34-11 or something along those lines. He beat the Baltimore Ravens in a game where I think he completed like 90% of his passes. They beat the Seattle Seahawks throughout that stretch too, who were a good postseason contender. So he caught fire for them down the stretch. He's got a lot of experience playing football in this league. I will admit, you know, and I did a bunch of radio hits about the backup quarterback situation. I wrote a lot of articles on it. He's not one of like the 10 guys that I thought were a possibility. This staff had so many connections, right? You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. Joe Flacco had a couple loose connections. There was a guy like Sam Darnold, although I'm not surprised, you know, he got a good opportunity in Minnesota. Brandon Allen was one, A.J. McCarron, Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Geez, I think there are a couple I think I'm forgetting. There were so many guys that had connections. They end up going with a guy that doesn't have a connection at all, right? Like, has never played for any of these coaches on staff, to my knowledge. But he is a quality backup quarterback. Like, when we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm totally guesstimating here, but I wondered at one point, like, his profile, Is it a little concerning for a backup quarterback? Like, Jimmy might come with too high of a profile, and this might be a stupid thing to say, but let's be honest. You know, he's a good-looking guy, and people are going to clown me for that, but it's like everyone knows who Jimmy Garoppolo is. You know what I mean? Like, he's like a celebrity outside of football.
Like, he does Subway commercials. He's been in, like, the tabloids, like, and stuff like that.
You'd be surprised. Teams get concerned. Like, they want a quiet backup quarterback that's going to hold the clipboard. Like, for, like, remember, like, the Colin Kaepernick stuff when he couldn't get back into the league? Part of that was his profile outside of football, because Kaepernick was a good enough quarterback to get back into the league. I think the same thing with Jimmy G. There's probably a bit concern of how high of a non-football profile he has. And on top of it, you know, a former starter, is he looking for those opportunities? You never want to create a situation where a fan base, and every portion of every fan base, is dumb enough to do this. If Will Levis has a couple bat, throw Jimmy Garoppolo in there. That's not going to be as loud,
right,
I don't think,
right,
with a Mason Rudolph type of quarterback. So I get where they're coming from. I'm surprised it's not a guy with a bit more experience and experience within the system, like someone that Callahan or Nick Holtz or Bo Hardigree has coached before.
Yeah.
So that surprised me, but ultimately, I think it's an upgrade on Malik Willis. He's a good quality backup quarterback, and most importantly, he can win you a game or two if he's got to play.
That's exactly how I feel, and I think, you know, Bo Hardigree did spend time with Jimmy Garoppolo last year. Bo Hardigree was with Las Vegas Raiders and was promoted to interim offensive coordinator when Josh McDaniels was fired. And he benched Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's not like maybe there was something where he was like, we don't want Jimmy. Maybe that connection actually worked against Jimmy Garoppolo as opposed to working for him. So, or maybe they just, you know, liked Mason Rudolph's tape and thought they could get him at a great value. I mean, this contract is incredible. $2.7 million guaranteed for your backup quarterback. I mean, we've seen backups make $8, $9, $17 million across the league. Even Marcus Mariota signed for a $6 million, you know, guaranteed deal.
I was about to say, I don't know how Mariota, I mean, I don't know if there's some funny numbers with that deal, but I don't know how he, who has not played well lately, gets, you know, triple the amount that Rudolph gets.
And Rudolph has played in a lot of games in his career. I mean, the 2019 season especially, he played in a lot of games. That was when, with the whole Myles Garrett helmet debacle happened. But he's been a consistent backup for Pittsburgh since then. And like you said, he got in at the end of the year and really helped, you know, guide Pittsburgh to the playoffs at a precarious point in their season when they could have been, you know, facing elimination. I think those high leverage games, that high level experience in those big moments, played, like you said, in a playoff game last year. He's a guy that can come in and win you a handful of games if needed. And that's exactly what you need in your backup quarterback. Is he going to be this veteran mentor who's been in the NFL for 12 years and can help Will Levis, you know, learn to be a professional? No, but you don't need that. Will Levis is a very mature, very intelligent man. There's been never any inklings of the fact that he needed to, like, grow up or learn how to be a pro.
Right.
Like, he's been very professional since he got in the league. So I don't think you need someone, A, that's going to push him for the starting job, because he's your unquestioned starter. The owner of the Titans released a statement talking about how much she believed in Will Levis and that being a reason they wanted to go in a different direction with the coaching staff. So you don't need someone that's going to push him, and you don't really need someone that's going to mentor him. Would it have been nice to have someone who knows Brian Callahan, who can kind of help him understand what Callahan's looking for? Sure, but Callahan and Levis are going to have a very good relationship and work very closely together anyway, so it's not by any means that's not a necessity for your backup quarterback. I think that this is a good signing for the Titans. Now, the question is, will Mason Rudolph have to play? Because I think this is also an important thing to take into account, is that Will Levis has, as excited as we are about him, he has a bit of an injury history. He missed time at Kentucky. He played his entire final season there through an injury. He played, but he was injured last season with the Titans. He had the preseason injury where he missed a lot of, you know, training camp and preseason games with a quad injury. Then he got in the starting lineup, had some lower leg problems, ankle injury stuff, had to miss the end of the season when Tannehill was reinserted into the lineup. So he plays a very physical brand of football. He's not afraid to run through guys, not afraid, as we saw, to dive over large groups of men in the middle of the field and try to get first downs and that kind of thing. So he's going to have to do a better job protecting himself overall. But you do look at this and think, like, man, there is a chance he misses a handful of games based on the way he plays and based on his injury history. So that is another reason that you need a guy you can feel confident in coming in to replace him if needed. So we'll see if Mason Rudolph actually has to play. But Brian Callahan was in Cincinnati for multiple years with Joe Burrow went down. He saw how important it is to have a capable backup that won't completely derail your season. And when you're talking about how there's bad backups across the league, Justin, the Titans backup quarterback situation, I mean, they've been trying to develop Malik Willis, right? Think about not this past season, but the year before when Tannehill went down that year and Malik Willis had to come in and the Titans had to completely change their offense. They were scared to let him drop back and throw the ball. Like they almost beat the Chiefs purely with like running the ball and screen passes because
good defense.
Because they wouldn't let Malik even have a chance to throw. And now I don't think that's something you have to worry about at all with your backup situation.
Agreed. Brian Callahan sort of listed his criteria at the combine. We talked about that conversation a lot about what he was looking for in a backup quarterback. You talked about the firsthand experience with Burrow this year. Jake Browning kept them alive and above water for longer than he should have, probably, right? Considering Burrow went down, and that's what he was looking for. And Mason Rudolph gives him that option. And I think you can write it in pen that he's going to be the backup quarterback for the 2024 campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So that was a little bit more time than I anticipated us spending on Mason Rudolph, but an important signing that I think, you know, we shouldn't bury how important.
I think we'll
be
able to go rapid fire with some of these re-signings. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot to say about the three re-signings or the four re-signings, I guess.
So we're going to start next with, or I guess we started with Rudolph. We're going to move next to Nick Folk, who was re-signed after being allowed to test free agency. I felt like this was sort of the Titans playing with fire a little bit, not getting this deal done before Monday and letting Nick Folk go out and test the market. Not because there was, I mean, just because the kicker position, and we tried to talk about this on the pod, is very important and often underrated how important. I mean, these guys win and lose you games in the final moments if they can't hit big kicks. So the Titans didn't have a kicker. They don't have a young developmental kicker. They had no answer at kicker if they didn't get Nick Folk outside of just going and signing one of these journeyman guys that's still on the market. And a lot of those guys were getting scooped up too. So Nick Folk comes back on a one-year deal, $3.755 million. That's not a cheap price tag for a kicker. It's not super expensive, but it will be up there among the top kicker deals in the league. And it has a max value of $4.13 million if he hits all of his incentives. But Nick Folk, one of the most accurate kickers in the NFL last year, there were the two games he missed extra points that potentially cost the Titans wins. Although in one of those, you have to remember Ryan Tannehill sort of botched they didn't have the chemistry of Ryan Tannehill being the holder because he wasn't a typical holder because they lost Ryan Stonehouse to injury during the game. So you can kind of blame one of them on that. But overall, an excellent year for Nick Folk. Not the strongest leg, but a reliable, consistent kicker that's going to hit it inside of 50 yards. He hit every attempt inside of 50 yards last year. So you would hope he can do something like that again.
Well, I'll say this, the more I think about this, and I'm guesstimating here, but I don't know that the Titans were playing with fire per se. If I had to guess, they made an offer to Nick Folk. They made a strong offer to Nick Folk, which is the one he ended up signing. And maybe him and his agent said, you know what? Do Titans fans realize this guy went 29 of 30.
That's what I'm saying.
Last year on Fields. That's 96.7%. That's the greatest single season mark in franchise history.
And the greatest
back to the Houston Oilers days, 1960 onward. Okay. That's the greatest mark in franchise history.
And the greatest mark of Nick Folk's 16-year career. He's been a very good kicker his whole career, but last season was his best year.
If I had to guess, the Titans made a strong offer to Nick Folk, the one he ended up signing. And him and his agent said, you know what? 96.7%. Let's go see what we can fetch on the open market. Can we parlay that into an even bigger payday? Titans probably said, okay, this is what we've allocated to the kicker position. You got to do that math. They felt strong about their offer, probably felt strongly he wouldn't find better. And if he does find better, what can you do? You figure you made a valiant effort to keep him, right? And they showed confidence in their offer, and he came back and he signed it after testing the open market. So I think they probably played it well. Yes, they could have lost them. I think it's a realistic possibility. Maybe he would have come back and said, hey, I got this offer, and would have given the Titans a chance to match. But I would wager that the initial offer they made to him is probably what he ended up signing. And they probably made that offer to him before free agency opened, before tampering opened. So all in all, good business. Glad to have him back. I expect the Titans will be very accurate on field goals once again next season.
Yeah, you mentioned 29 of 30. 24 for 24 on kicks inside of 50 yards. His one miss was a 51-yarder. So
5 of 6, though, from 50-plus. Yeah. So accurate from deep as well.
Yeah, very good. Very good signing there, I think, the Titans. I mean, it's a one-year deal, and he is an older kicker, so it's a some sort of stopgap element to it, but the less holes long-term that you need to fill this season, the better, because there already are so many. So lock that position down, kick the can, if you will, down to next season and worry about it then. So Titans also re-signed Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, wide receiver, who's been with the team. You and I, when we did our Should the Titans Re-Sign These Guys series, said probably no on Nick Westbrook-Ikhina because we thought he seemed like a variable guy. Apparently, the new regime likes him as well. Look, you can do a lot worse for your back-end wide receiver depth. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, I don't know if he'll play special teams under Brian Callahan's regime or if he's, you know, at a veteran status in his career where he doesn't have to do that. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, when he first, you know, got noticed by the Titans, before he had real snaps on offense, was a big-time special teamer. I wonder if anyone else remembers him making a tackle on a fake punt, fourth and two stop, looking like a middle linebacker out there a handful of years ago. So Nick Westbrook-Ikhina comes back. I will say about this signing, like, it doesn't excite you, but he's a very reliable guy. If I were to choose one of the two Titans free agent wide receivers to sign, I would have said I prefer Chris Moore because I think he's a little bit more explosive. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is a guy who can play inside, he can play outside, he can play all three receiver positions. He provides depth across the board there. And like I said, he's a guy that's going to be reliable, he's going to be where he's supposed to be, not going to make a bunch of dynamic plays, but can keep the offense on track and is not going to screw you up with a mental mistake or something like that.
Well, you said everything I wanted to say, essentially, but I think it's funny. You know, everyone assumed he was gone. Oh, he was a Mike Vrabel fanboy. No one else would be playing him. Well, apparently Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon are big fans of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina as well. I find that funny. And I don't blame them. I think Titans fans lash out at him for no reason. It's not his fault. They've had at times had to rely on him more than they should. That's their fault for not having better receivers at time or better depth, right? He could play the X, he could play the Y, he could play the slot. That means if he's got to back up DeAndre Hopkins, he'll do it. He's got to back up Calvin Ridley now at the Z, he'll do it. If he's got to back up Treylon Burks or Kyle Phillips and play that big slot role, he can do it. He's a good route runner. He knows where to be. He's a great blocker. You wanted a guy like Juwan Jennings? Well, you have one in Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. He's familiar with the offense somewhat, right? I think the Brian Callahan offense will be familiar from the Arthur Smith days, right? Sort of zone-based scheme. So I think some of the concepts will be similar. Maybe not the verbiage as much, but I think he'll be familiar enough where he's not going to have a hard time picking it up. He's a smart guy anyway, as we know. So I'm not shocked. He's a good wide receiver five and, you know, five or six. And that's what he's going to be for this team in 2024.
Exactly. And it's a 1-year contract. No reporting yet on how much money, but I imagine not very much for a player of his caliber that's going to be in the role that he'll be. So solid signing. Nothing to like get excited about. Certainly not the way we were excited about Calvin Ridley, but still a good player that the Titans will be happy to have back. All right, next ones we're going to talk about here, we're going to pair these last two re-signings together. They re-signed running back Julius Chestnut, and they tendered exclusive rights free agent Jack Gibbons, which means they are offering him a 1-year deal at the league minimum, and he can either accept and play with the Titans or not play football anymore. So he's going to be a Tennessee Titan next year because of that tender. We talked about Julius Chestnut being a pretty good option as a third back after Tony Pollard was signed behind Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. And Julius Chestnut, a big special teams guy. He runs hard between the tackles. He's been a preseason standout for multiple years now for this team. Unfortunately suffered a season ending injury last year, which took him out of play, but should be back healthy, ready to go this year in an RB3 role and a big special teams role. I don't expect the Titans to add anyone else at running back, not in the draft, not in free agency. Maybe a UDFA comes in to compete.
I think they'll bring in a UDFA to compete. Rather, they tried last year, right, with the kid from, where was it? They brought in a kid last year at running back, I remember for sure. He didn't last long, but Chestnut just obliterated him. Looked a lot better than he did. Both of these moves are what they are. They're depth moves. Neither of them are guaranteed spots on the 53-man roster. Again, Chestnut as an RB3, I think he's likelier. They'll probably need an inside linebacker at some point, but Jack Gibbons, you're looking at me funny. I think Gibbons, they're going to add another inside. They're going to sign Jerome Baker. We'll be back to do that episode when they do. I think Otis Reese probably starts ahead of Jack Gibbons right now, too. I would make that bold prediction. But both of them, back-end roster types, going to fight for 53-man roster spots. Neither of them are a guaranteed one. I see a scenario where they both make the 53. I see a scenario where neither of them make the 53. They're quality 90-man roster types to play and compete through July and August, and it makes sense to retain both of them at the price tag.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I was making those faces sort of facetiously about Jack Gibbons being a depth guy just because there's no one else on the roster right now. But like you said, Jerome Baker's coming to visit on Thursday, which is today. So hopefully he doesn't leave the building without a deal. All right, let's talk about some rumors and reports because this is who the Titans have signed. Who else is going to be signed? Yes, the Titans have made a ton of moves. I think they've signed 10 or 11 total free agents, including the re-signings and including Morgan Cox, which was before free agency officially opened. So I think the number is at 11 right now. But who else might it be? Because I don't think Rand Carthon is done. Titans still have approximately, we're guessing here because we don't have exact details, but the reporting out there is the Titans have between $40 and $45 million still on the 2024 salary in salary cap space for 2024, which is a lot of money. I mean, you think about the Tony Pollard deal, which had, what, a $6 million cap hit, $4 million cap hit, something like that, even though it was a big contract. Even Calvin Ridley's not going to have a ginormous cap hit, even though his contract comes in at $23 million per year. So there's definitely room to sign more players, and the Titans have more holes to fill. Obviously, the needed offensive tackle is still there. They have not been connected to anyone on the tackle market. Jonah Williams has signed elsewhere, who was with Brian Callahan in Cincinnati and a very big, you know, speculation target for the Titans. He's gone. A lot of these tackles are gone, but Tyron Smith and Mekhi Becton are still out there. But Titans haven't really been connected to anyone. Becton, there were some reports back before free agency started, but that feels like 2 years ago now at this point. So not sure what's going on there. The safety market, they obviously still need a safety. We still think they need another cornerback as well. But there is action in the safety market. So the Titans were reportedly in on Justin Simmons as of Wednesday. On Thursday, it has come out that the Titans are now interested in Marcus May, who played safety under Denard Wilson back with the New York Jets a few seasons ago before Wilson got to Philly and Baltimore. Back when he was with the Jets, he coached Marcus May. A lot of people say that Marcus May had his best seasons under Denard Wilson there as his position coach in New York. And it's not just interest here, reported interest. He's coming to meet with the Titans on Monday, presumably to do a medical check, which is very important, especially when you look at, you know, last season, he only played 7 games. So he missed a lot of time. He's been dealing with injuries over the last few years. He's 31 years old, so he's getting up there. This would be more of a stopgap signing. I personally, if you're just comparing Marcus May and Justin Simmons, I would say Justin Simmons is much better at this point in his career and would be a much better fit for the Titans just based on the need at the position. However, you go make a huge splash signing Calvin Ridley, and I know I just talked about having a lot more money left to spend still, but you make a huge splash like Calvin Ridley, it may affect how much you want to spend at other positions, and safety being a position that, you know, traditionally isn't a high value position. You don't want to invest a ton of money there unless you have a true superstar. So I can see why they would pivot from Simmons to May after making that deal. And I would not trade Ridley for Simmons in any world. So
agreed. And Diana Rossini alluded to that on Twitter, by the way. She responded to a tweet. Good thing I have her notifications on and it came up. She said money in response to someone who said, oh, the Titans look to be pivoting from Justin Simmons to Marcus May. So it sounds like Simmons has a high asking price and he's waiting maybe for the right offer to come in. And if it doesn't come in, he might still take an offer from the Titans, but they're doing their homework on alternative cheaper options. I think Marcus May is a starting caliber safety. The injury history is a bit concerning, but you appreciate that he's played well for Denard Wilson in the past.
Yeah.
I think if you can't land Simmons at the right price, you can live with signing a guy like Marcus May and then maybe re-signing like a Kayvon Wallace or a Terrell Edmonds as another depth guy in case May continues to struggle with health. But I think he's a starting caliber safety when healthy. I like the history with Denard Wilson, and I think it makes sense if they can't get Simmons down to a more agreeable price tag.
Yeah, I agree. I am worried about the injuries concerns. Like, I think those are real concerns.
He had a suspension, too, in his past, I believe.
Yeah. So this is a guy, like, if he can't stay on the field, he's not worth signing in any capacity because what's the point?
Right. So hopefully the medical check will be telling on Monday.
Right. That's the whole. Yeah, that's why they're bringing him in on Monday, to make sure they feel good about his health. But even if he's healthy right now, like, can he stay healthy in his age 31 season? Like, it's not like he's a young, spry guy. So I would definitely be concerned about that. But I also think he's a quality starter who you could do a lot worse than, and the Titans need quality starters at this point. So I'm not going to be wringing my hands if they sign Marcus May. I do think Justin Simmons would have been a better target, but it's all good. I mean, the Titans need a body here and they spent a lot of money on Calvin Ridley. So that's kind of the bottom line. We can break this down more if it actually happens.
Exactly. I mean, we'll see. I have a feeling we'll be back really soon, either later today, over the weekend. Talk about some signing that they've made. They're connected to so many guys still, so there's more to come from Rand Carthon.
Exactly. And talking about more to come, just as we wrap this thing up here, keep in mind the Titans are meeting with Jerome Baker later today on Thursday, or maybe it's happening. I don't know when it's happening. So as we record this, it could be happening. Could be this afternoon. Titans just did their introductory press conferences for four of the newest signings. So maybe after that, they'll go meet with Baker and do his medicals and everything and see if he's a fit. And then they're also supposed to be meeting with Chase Young. Chase Young met with apparently the Panthers and the Saints. I think those meetings were on Wednesday. At least one of those meetings was on Wednesday. No reported deal. In fact, no update at all on where Chase Young is leaning, and we've heard nothing. So we kind of speculated. We didn't know if Chase Young would come away from those meetings without a deal. Looks like that it could be possible that the Titans will have a chance to meet with him. So lots still possibly to come, and we'll be back to recap those things when it happens. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. That'll do it for this one. We appreciate all of you guys. We really appreciate all of our new listeners, all of our new viewers on YouTube. This has been a great week for us, so we appreciate all the support from you guys out there. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel and stick with us, you know, throughout the offseason. We're going to have a lot of great draft recaps. So if you're just tuning in for these free agency reactions, we appreciate you. We hope we've earned you as a new follower of the show, because we're going to have great content coming all through draft season and into the offseason as it gets into a more dead period. So thanks again to everyone. And a reminder, this episode is brought to you by Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. So in honor of them, I'd like to raise a glass to what Rand Carthon has done so far in free agency. The Titans have spent the second most amount of money so far of any team in the NFL. Number one team is the Atlanta Falcons. The majority of their money went to Kirk Cousins, one player. Titans second, having signed, like I said earlier, 11 players. So a glass raised, a toast to Rand Carthon in his first full season as the GM-ish. I mean, he was hired in the middle of the offseason sort of last year. So Rand Carthon, I salute you.
He's done a great job so far, and I'm excited to see what's yet to come. Thanks to Sinker's Beverages for sponsoring the show. Thanks to everyone, all the new viewers that have tuned in. As Graver said, we've had a lot of success this week growing this show, growing this YouTube channel, and that makes us very proud because we've put a lot of work into this thing. So this is our seventh episode of the week, as Graver pointed out, and there are more to come. The Titans are going to make more signings. We might be back here later today. Exciting guys, whether that's a Jerome Baker, a Justin Simmons, an Eric Armstead, a Chase Young, a Marcus May, so another cornerback, a tackle, finally. So many guys they're connected to, so we'll be back soon.
And Tony Pollard said in his press conference, I don't know if he was supposed to say this, but he said something right, like, we're still building up the offensive line, or we're supposed to be building up the offensive line, so stay tuned there, because while we haven't had any reports about Titans being connected to more offensive linemen, maybe that is still in the works.
We're not connected to Calvin Ridley either, really, right. So who knows what's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, all right, so that'll do it, like I said. And also, I just want to point out, I called Mason Rudolph as a very good, viable option on our free agency preview pod. I kind of forgot about that, but
that's why
that?
This show is growing right now. The people know we're good at what we do.
That's right. All right, so we'll be back next time a signing is reported. Until then, you all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.